Right. So Luke chapter 6, verse 20 through to verse 26. Now this is about what Jesus says. It's Luke 6, verse 20. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So that's where we're going to be camping ourselves out tonight, looking at those words that we've just read there. Like I said, if you've got your Bible, please keep it open in front of you. That way you can check that what I'm saying is actually lining up with the Bible and I'm not just making things up. So as we start tonight, so we've got a question. Is anyone here a fan of regularly being told what to do? I think the chuckles say it all. I don't think any. Oh, we had a hand go up. Might have been forced by Dad, but we generally don't like being told what to do. There is not much worse than people constantly telling us what we can do and what we can't do. And it's bad when that's sort of a generalised thing, but it gets even worse when those people generously take the time to tell us exactly how we should be doing what we're doing from their perspective. And if we're doing the wrong thing, or something they think is wrong, there's not much worse than them, again, very generously taking the time to explain why what we're doing is wrong, what's going to happen to us if we keep doing that wrong thing, and how we can do so much better. Now, we might think that this annoys us and we would never give in to that. But when I was looking at this, I realised that sometimes for myself, I can be a bit of a backseat driver. So I turn into a crotchety old fellow when other people are driving. I'm sure Anna and Corinne's nodding her head. I haven't even been with the car with Corinne much, but she's already nodding her head. I'm not the most fun person to drive with at times. I can be a real pain. I have marvellous insights that I think people would be just blessed to know when they're driving. You should have indicated off that roundabout. You should brake a little bit sooner. You sure you're going 60? It's really painful at times. This is about myself. When we see a list of people in the Bible that you are blessed if you are dot dot dot, and another list saying woe to you or be careful if you are dot dot dot, maybe we get the impression that Jesus is just trying to be the backseat driver that we really don't want in our lives. Looking at a list like what we read tonight, there's two short lists there, we may feel as if we're being boxed into a certain way of living. A certain way of living that we maybe think here is too restrictive. No, we don't want to do those things because that's not how I like to drive my life. Well, hopefully tonight we see that that's not the case. Now, I don't think that this is just a list of do this and don't do that, and a case of be this and don't be that, just for the sake of it. You see, when we look at what's going on in Luke's Gospel, I think these are really, really encouraging lists, things that we should be encouraged by, not discouraged by, amazingly enough, and things that we should be trying to avoid. Now, hopefully we'll make it clear as we go through this, because one of the other things on the second list, the list of woes, the things of the bad list, things to be careful of, was woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. So hopefully we can explain that before we have a meal together afterwards, because it could be a bit confusing otherwise. But regardless, we don't want to put ourselves on this second list. We want to be aiming for this first list and asking God to help us be on that list. But I think one of the reasons we see a greater emphasis on encouragement than just boxing us into a certain lifestyle is because these are words spoken by Jesus himself. Jesus is a person who has shown himself over and over and over again to be somebody who genuinely cares. few weeks ago, we saw Jesus heal a man in the synagogue who had a withered hand. And it was on the Sabbath, a day where they were meant to be resting. But it was the right thing to show mercy. Jesus knew that in terms of his popularity with some people, that wasn't the right thing to do. But he cared enough to heal on that day. The man saying these things, Jesus, is a person who cares enough about sinners in society, about the so-called unlovables of society, to sit down and to have a meal with them. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus has expectations of how people should act. He is God who created the world. We've been made in the image of God. We belong to God whether we like it or not. We saw that last term. He has every right not just to have expectations on how we should live, but also to tell us those expectations. He's not out of bounds to do this. We should be paying attention to the words that Jesus says, not just because he is God, but because he's shown his character to us as reliable, trustworthy, loving, and gracious. So these lists, when we look at lists, they might make us bored. I know that I'm not a list person. Michael's tried to get me to do task lists, and I'm starting to do it. But I'm not a list guy. I find lists boring. I find lists just a bit by the by. What does it really matter? But what we see here tonight are things that remind us of what really matters in life. These lists are actually super helpful because they show us that there are more significant things in life than living for, maybe it's that first job, maybe it's for that promotion, maybe it's the house, the car, the dog, whatever it might be. These things can be good. But what we read tonight shows us that there is something more important here. It makes us realise the incredible future that we have if we follow Jesus, if we trust in him entirely. So where we are in Luke's Gospel. Last week, towards the end of our reading, Jesus had crowds from all over. They were all over the place, were coming to be near Jesus. They were coming to Jesus to hear him, to hear what he had to say about God. They were coming to Jesus to be healed. Some of these guys were giving up their livelihoods for maybe a short period of time, but for others we know it was 3 years to follow Jesus. It wasn't going to be an easy thing to give up your livelihood, even for a short period of time, and go and follow Jesus, to hear him, to be blown away by the power of Jesus. So last week, Jesus started off at a mountain. He went up and he spent a whole day, a whole night, talking to God in prayer. He came down from the mountain, he chose 12 apostles, and he spoke to the crowds where, again, they were healed at the end there. Everyone was healed. And this is where we continue tonight, in verse 20, with Jesus lifting up his eyes to the disciples. Sorry, I was right to change that. He lifted up his eyes to the disciples, and this is what Jesus had to say. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Now, that's a passage which a lot of Christians like because it talks about blessings. There's also a reality of life shown here which is really, really heavy. At the time Jesus said this, there were some really good things happening for Jesus and his followers. There's people being healed. There's people coming even from outside of Israel to come and hear what Jesus has to say. Demons are being cast out. Things are rolling on. Things are progressing nicely for Jesus and his ministries. Yeah, the Pharisees are more than a little bit stroppy about Jesus, but overall things are good. Things are looking up. Jesus is powerful. He is showing that over and over again. He is winning people to himself. So why on earth would Jesus want to ruin that mood by saying half the things that he says in here? what reason could Jesus have to put a potential dampener on the mood? See, Jesus is talking to his disciples, those following him. And the words he says are as true for the people following Jesus 2,000 years ago as they are today. If this is the case, if Jesus is saying, blessed are these people who seem so downtrodden, these people who seem to have nothing of worth in life, what's the point? Does Jesus want his followers way back then and today to be miserable, to be broke, to be unfairly treated? Just the down and out Eeyores of the world. It's one way we can look at this. But I hope we're not looking at it like that. Because, again, these guys, the disciples Jesus is talking to, like many of us here tonight, had been so committed to following Jesus that they had left everything behind. That more than anything else that they might consider to be of value, they were saying, what we have with you, Jesus, is more important. But there might have been question marks coming up. Is this really the best decision that we could have made with our lives? Is following Jesus the best thing that we could have done? And Jesus tells them the truth. Jesus tells them the truth that following himself is not going to be easy. To believe in Jesus, to love Jesus more than anything else that we could ever have in life is not easy. In fact, it's probably the hardest thing that anyone could ever do with their lives. Jesus says that in here. But he also tells us it's the most rewarding way we could live our lives as well. Starts off, blessed are you who are poor. Now right then and there, I'm sure Jesus probably got the attention of most of his disciples. And whatever time they'd been with Jesus, they didn't have any income while they were with him. They're following Jesus, and Jesus is saying these words to them. Jesus says to them that, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And Jesus is looking forwards to an ultimate reward that everybody who follows him has. Jesus is saying these guys will be blessed enough to inherit God's kingdom, the kingdom of perfection, the kingdom of glory, the kingdom where there will be no more poorness, where there will be no more depravity, where there will be no more people lower than anybody else there. This is going to belong to you. No doubt following Jesus was not easy. No doubt following Jesus was and still is hard work. No doubt many of the guys Jesus is talking to here, whose societal standing, perhaps their friendship circles were based on their income, had given that up. But they would be repaid more than what they'd given up. The kingdom of God is for everyone who follows Jesus, even those who are poor. And Jesus goes on, blessed are you who are hungry, for you shall be filled. Now, if you were with us a few weeks ago, I'm sure this would have resonated if you remember a few weeks ago. If you don't, that's fine. Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field of grain. And his disciples were hungry. So they plucked some heads of grain off the grain they were walking through, rubbed it in their hands and ate that. Now, that's not much of a meal. Deuteronomy says that that's okay to do for Jesus' followers, for anybody. That was okay to do. But the Pharisees were incredibly upset. They were heavily criticised by the Pharisees for doing this. They weren't particularly eating well. Even when they ate, they were still criticised at times. Later on, we read about Jesus feeding huge amounts of crowds at least twice because no one had any food on them. Following Jesus isn't necessarily going to result in a whole heap of immediate rewards straight away, it seems. Goes on, blessed are you those who weep now, for you shall laugh. Now maybe we get a bit confused here, because the followers of Jesus, even though they might not have been financially flush at the moment, didn't seem too upset right now. things seemed to be going okay. There wasn't really a whole heap of mourning. There was a lot of good things happening. People coming to Jesus to be healed. Everyone who came to him to be healed was healed. That seems more like happiness than weeping and mourning. But Jesus says there's going to be a time coming where it's going to be different. Where to follow me won't be a celebration all the time. To follow me, Jesus says, will mean that there's times of mourning coming. There would be hardship. There would be suffering. There would be intense opposition. And we see that flow into this next one. And this is incredibly confronting. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Does that hit you hard? That to follow Jesus results in that? When men hate you, exclude you, revile you, and cast out your name as evil? And the words Jesus says straight after that are to rejoice. Because you're going to have a great blessing in heaven. Is Jesus just not aware of what he's saying to his followers? Because hunger, poorness, hatred, they don't sound like the sort of things that we should rejoice in. It sounds like the opposite. It sounds terrible. I do not want people to hate me. I do not want to be excluded. I do not want people to cast my name out as evil and not want to have the slightest association with me at all. I do not want these things. And Jesus says when these things are done to us for the sake of the Son of Man, that's when we're going to be blessed. Not just because people dislike us, but for believing in Jesus. People treat us like this, but still he says we have a great reward. Now, that is encouraging and daunting. As I said, those words are as true 2,000 years ago as they are today. I'm sure we've all said some things and done some really silly things that have resulted in the dislike of the people around us. I'm sure many of us have been excluded at certain times. But this isn't because of us, what Jesus says here. This is just because of him, for his sake, for believing in him, for being willing to tell others about him, being willing to share what Jesus told us about the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that God offers. It's not because of our silly or dumb decisions. This will be for nothing more than following Jesus. Now, that might be a surprise. This might be a shock to us, but when we think about what we know today and what we've seen in the Bible of how Jesus and his followers are treated, are we really surprised? The Pharisees, just a few verses before this, their contempt and their hatred for Jesus was so strong that other Gospels tell us they're willing to consider murdering Jesus. Why would they go easy on his followers who in turn tell others about Jesus? Even though we don't necessarily have Pharisees today, people today still cannot stand Jesus. And they cannot stand those who follow Jesus. But Jesus still says, if you follow me, if you do these things and these things happen to you for my sake, you will be blessed. But it is hard. How often do we hear people take offense to the words of the Bible? How often are people taken to court these days because they don't bake certain cakes? Because they believe it contradicts the Bible and their religious belief in God. There's one couple in America who this week have been issued with their third lawsuit for doing that. They want to represent Jesus and represent Jesus faithfully. They say, no, we don't want to do that. That's not our belief. We won't bake that cake, but please go to another baker. There's plenty of others around. And for this response, they're hated. They're excluded. Their name is smeared. Their reputation is potentially ruined. We know from the last 2 months that people can be fired for quoting the Bible on social media. Following Jesus is not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but it's still Jesus says, blessed are those who go through these things for his sake. Following Jesus means that we give up and need to be willing to give up so much. Again, this might not sound very appealing, but to follow Jesus means we need to be willing to go hungry rather than compromise our beliefs for a certain paycheck. It means we need to acknowledge that we will suffer hard times, that we will weep when we follow Jesus. Following Jesus means we need to be willing to have people who don't love Jesus, even friends, even family, hate us for telling them of the goodness and the grace of Jesus. Like I said, there's another list. Maybe we don't want those things. Maybe we want to be rich and full and to be able to laugh now. Maybe we want a good reputation to be spoken well of. I mean, it's natural to want these things, but look at what they get. If we're rich now, that's all we've got. And how often are we actually content with how much richness we have? Someone a few weeks ago was saying that pretty much every study says that no matter what your income is, people say if they had 10% more wealth than what they currently have, they would be content. But what we have now, that's all we're going to get. We're not going to get that extra 10% that we want. Those who are full now are going to hunger. Now we see Jesus came to satisfy a certain need. A certain need that we have spiritually. A certain need that we all have to be healed. A certain need that we have to be able to fulfill our reason for being here, which is to give God glory. We've been created by him. We belong to him. We should be doing that. But without him, we can't do that. We're always lacking if we don't have Jesus. But if we just focus on the physical food and chasing that, then we will be hungry because we won't have Jesus. Our laughter now will turn to mourning and weeping. If we don't trust Jesus, then there will come a time where we recognise we've given it all away for something that doesn't last, and we will regret that. We will mourn and weep. All through the Old Testament, there was a pattern of those prophets who came from God being mistreated by God's people. The people that came with a message of really nothing of consequence, apart from to lead people further away from God. People like that. Those people who were well respected of. Their fathers spoke well of the false prophets. But God did not look kindly on that. And there was punishment for that. See, if we value the richness, the satisfaction of food now, to be able to laugh now about things that aren't going to last forever, if we want to be well spoken of, and if we just chase those things, and the path in life that we're on, which says we don't want to believe, we refuse to believe in God, the one true God who loves us, the one true God who sent his son to bleed and die for us and to pay the price for us, then all we get is a world of hurt. Following Jesus is not easy. If we trust in Jesus and give everything we have to following him, it will be hard. Jesus doesn't give us a rose-tinted lens of what it means to follow him. He's very realistic. He's very upfront about what it is to follow him. Those who don't love Jesus will hate him, and they will hate his followers. That might sound just really fatalistic, just very black and white. Surely there's a middle ground there. How often has history shown us that there isn't a middle ground? We are for God or we're against God. Jesus himself told us this. I can say history proved it right. Jesus wasn't wrong at all. Following Jesus will not be a cakewalk, but it is worth it. Following Jesus comes with the reward of eternal life. Comes with the reward of everlasting, never-ending glory and perfection. Now that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And to make it even better, that's been bought for us. There's a little cafe on the Sunshine Coast. I'm not sure if they still do it. They used to have a wall for pay it forwards. Now, if you went in to get your coffee, you could purchase another coffee for somebody else to come in after you. And you just got a slip of paper you put up on this big wall. In a few weeks, this wall was just covered with pieces of paper. Now, it was particularly for homeless people, or people who couldn't afford it. They could go in, grab a piece of paper, take it up to the counter, and they had a coffee. They didn't have to worry about whether they had the coins in their wallet or purse or whatever it might be. It was paid. It was already paid for. Now, we don't need to worry when it comes to looking to these blessings that Jesus is going to give us, whether we have enough coins in our wallets. All it takes is to believe in him, to trust him. It's already been paid for in full by Jesus, and this is far better than a coffee. In the end, those who follow Jesus will rejoice. And even right now, even in hardship, if we're going through hardship, if we're hungry now, if we're poor now, if people can't stand us now, even in that, we can rejoice because we know that what we have in Jesus is worth it. That what we have in Jesus is guaranteed to us. In John chapter 6, Jesus says that everybody who the Father has given him will not be lost. And if we believe in him, it's because the Father has given us to Jesus. How blessed is that? And when we look at these verses, we might think this is just about do this and don't do that, or be this and don't be that. But really, this is so much incentive to follow Jesus. We see so much of his goodness to us here. He does have expectations for us to imitate him, to copy his life as closely as we can. And even though we fail, despite all our faults, he did it all for us. Despite all the hardship we might face, he has done it for us and we are safe with him. This is why Jesus says that blessed are those who are poor, who are hungry, who are reviled. To follow Jesus through whatever life might throw at us is to be more blessed than we could ever imagine.